church, are you there? I would like you to pay strict attention to what I say tonight. Forget those that are coming into the seats. I feel that this message is important. It's a rather simple message, but it's important. I feel that the church, and I would like the tape to be running, please. I feel that the church has failed at large. The church at large has failed to really understand its purpose. I mean to really understand what it is. Churches in general across the United States that are in the charismatic movement, and I don't single them out because they are the lowest of the churches, but rather because they are the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit and supposedly are moving on the most with God. And as ministers of God travel across this nation who really know God, and you begin to wonder if you can count them on your hands, we find churches without vision. We find the people without a vision, without a purpose. They are without unity in the church. I mean, there is not much unity in the church. I mean, the people are not really interconnected. Isn't that right? They're not really interconnected one with another. They all come and sing the song together, but that doesn't make them unified. They're islands unto themselves, all living apart and individually, that come together and do what you're told together and then leave. And there's no real interlife with each other to any great extent. And therefore, they're without power, and they're without life. And let not Community Chapel think that we have bypassed that problem and that we have attained. For if we be above most, we are a handbreadth only above them. And there may be many that are above us in that respect, but most are languishing. In Community Chapel in our infancy, there was a unity, a good unity. But we were undeveloped. We were weaklings as a church. We were without strength, without power, and without knowledge of God's Word. New converts with a zeal and a unity, but without development. And now that we have been more greatly developed in many areas and have come to much understanding in many areas and have progressed in many areas, we are now in a place where we need to come back to the same unity that we had, the same trust in one another, and the same commitment to one another and to the church, to what we were doing together, till we all moved together. And then having come to that place, we need to go even deeper and higher in God. I would like to ask you, and I mean this sincerely, these aren't glib words, I would like to ask you to help us obtain it. It takes the help of every individual. You cannot do it by an eldership. It can only be done by people at large. It can't be done by a nucleus and by a prayer team. It has to be done by each one helping us to obtain it. Each one doing their part to be interconnected and have the union with one another and with the eldership, and all together we can make it. A man contacted me the other day concerning a problem that we discussed with him, a situation, and he didn't like what we had to say. And so immediately he had a dream from God warning us that if we don't hear his warning, something bad was going to happen. You see, there's a place that whenever certain people don't agree with the government of the church, they immediately get a dream or a vision or a revelation of warning. They get hurt, and so they open up to demon spirits, and they all think it's from God. It's a sad situation. I mean, it's a sad situation when the Church of Jesus Christ, when the individuals at large do not have the confidence and the trust in their church government, and when they get hurt, instead of soul-searching, instead of being able to handle even major disagreements with spiritual life, a spirit, and equilibrium, to immediately get so hurt they open themselves wide open to a lying spirit. And then so misunderstanding and have such a lack of understanding of how God leads, for a babe in Christ to call the pastor and he's supposed to listen to warnings they got from some source that came in through some dream or something. You know, we've got to get beyond just when we get hurt, opening doors to the devil. We can't afford that. The message in tongues interpretation tonight had a clause in it saying that he wants to prepare us for the next step. That tells me that there is a next step. There are churches that are thinking that it's all wrapped up, sealed and delivered. They've made the last step. Jesus could come tonight. One of the great objections I have to that doctrine is that it tells the people that this may be all that there is in God for you. It is saying that if the Lord could come tonight, this is the bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It is saying this is the finished product. This is the unity of the faith. This is the man-child. This is the bride without spot or wrinkle. This is it. And if he doesn't come tonight, then it must not go much higher before he comes, because he would be satisfied with his tonight. And it keeps the vision of the people so small. If this is all there is, and he's not going to fulfill it in a real sense, it leaves the people without hope. It leaves them without a vision. Well, with that kind of preaching year after year after year for 25 years, he doesn't come for 25 years, it's no wonder nobody's praying before a service. It's no wonder they're dead. It's no wonder they're not doing anything. Why pray? We're not going anyplace. I mean, whatever sloppiness we all have and all the disunity, that is called perfection and unity. In God's sight, that's about as close as you're going to get to it. All the rest will be in heaven. So there's nothing to strive for. There's nothing to become that's mighty in God. There's nothing. You can't feel you ever can get out of this. All you have to feel is it's all a legal righteousness, and somehow we're stuck with all this mass of disunity and trouble. I believe that if God created this universe and this people for his plan, that his plan would be realized. I believe if Jesus prayed and said, Father, that they may be one, that the prayer of Jesus at least ought to be heard and fulfilled. And then he said that they may be one, that they may be with me where I am. It would seem that that is a requisite. It would seem that he wants his people to be one so he can gather them together unto himself. We've got to keep climbing in God. So many Christians just want to come to church. That will kill a church. That attitude to just come to church and worship and ask God forgiveness and get enough strength to last one more week and pray a little bit and get a little bit of, cry a little bit, and get a little bit of ease of sins. That will kill a church if that's all we've come for, if that's all we're hunting for. God can't do much in his church. In the message tonight also, God said he was pleased to move upon us because we've been contemplating his word. And those just recently here, as a challenge has been upon God's people to obey the word no matter what the cost. And obey the word even if you can't understand how you're going to obey it. Obey the word no matter if you feel like it or not. Obey it no matter what your human reasoning is. Obey it in not only giving your life, but giving your funds. As God would ask you, as the need would be, do it. Do it whether you can see the way out of the valley or not. It's strange and paradoxical that man will get up and boldly testify and proclaim and tell new converts that, oh, if we get in a bite, we're done, so there's no way out, God will make a way. Then they come into, after telling the new convert, they come into church and pastor says, give as the Lord has commanded you to give. And they say, oh, we can't. See, trust him that he'll make a way. He has promised. Say, oh, I don't see it. I don't see the way. I've counted my ledger. I've totaled the figures. There is no way. I mean, it's so much for water and so much for rent and there's so much for this, there is no more. As though God's hands are tight-fisted and though his purse is empty And he, as though God doesn't know how to move upon you, to get you new jobs, raises, have money come in to bless you. I am, and to rebuke the devourers and the difficulties that beset you. I do not understand how you can preach this and not preach this. How you can proclaim this half and hold back on this half. It seems to me if he is Lord, he is Lord of all. It seems to me if we are to walk by faith, we are to walk by faith in all things. There are many people, I am convinced, paying the doctors and paying the automobile repair and getting new roofs and going through all kinds of difficulties, even being robbed, that they wouldn't have to account for in their budgets if they would obey God. I've had a few amens. I still believe that if you're a friend of God, he'll take care of you. Well, I have been pleased that I've been receiving letters from people acknowledging their weaknesses and repenting and so forth, and I believe that God is doing a good work in their heart because of it. I believe that they are going to prosper if their heart is with it, if it's not just out of fear only, but if they will turn into God. I believe that good is coming of it. I believe that even tonight, those that perhaps have been holding others back, that have been released in the Spirit that way, God just says, I'm going to bless you because of it. I'm going to bless you because of it. A number of you have done it, I'll bless the rest, because a number of you held back the rest, and so a number of you are going to also bless the rest when I bless you. Someday, I believe that the entire church of Jesus Christ will all give freely to God. They're all. And they're going to work freely together in love and in unity. And one of the things that God is going to use to goad us to this place is something called trials and tribulation. Because you know there are many people that will live very carelessly. In fact, a couple of examples. There have been several cases in this assembly of husbands that would not walk with God right. Or the wife just plugged on by themselves without their husband. Coming to church without their husband. That's like the church making it along without Jesus Christ in type. Struggling along without the head. And failing to love the wife as they should. Finally, that which they have been warned against so many times came upon them. The wife finally gave in. She finally crumbled. She finally fell to temptation. She finally sought love elsewhere. She finally lost love for her husband and turned it off. And about that time, he came to himself like the prodigal son. And they rose and called the pastor. And you know what happened? The feet begin to slide in all directions. They begin to repent. They begin to move. And in the next few weeks, the report has been that I am living for God like I've never lived for God before. I hope I get my wife back. It seems like we wait so long to wake up. We seem like we've got to get knocked down and tramped on to get our attention. Well, if that's how we need to have our attention gotten, then that's how the Lord has to work. But you know, he has ways of doing that. And he's going to do that. He's going to, first of all, appeal through love. And then those who won't, because of his love, he comes around the back door and he hurls a wind out into the sea and he picks up the Jonahs that way. He gets us down to a place where we say we will. And then so certain people you'll never believe ever come back to the Lord. Someday he'll have them on a deathbed. And about that time, they'll stop and contemplate their life and what they've done. And they're going to come back to God and he'll heal them and bring them back. There's going to be a lot of ways they're going to come back someday. But my friend, such a long, hard trip, such wasted glory, such misery, such a mess that can always be repaired, and such a period of time that they have failed to be able to grow, and to come back at a lower station as the power of God is upon others, moving them mightily in ministry. Those who they brought in as a new convert and taught, someday shall stand as the pastor of them, and they shall be used mightily of God in miracle ministry and the glory and revelation, where they themselves will still be a babe, older and wiser but have so much yet to go in God and not be used mightily of Him. That is a shame. You know, time is passing. Time is passing. And you can't ever take time back. And one day, all that time that has been lost has been lost. The 10 years you've done nothing have slipped by. The in and outs and down to the valleys have slipped by. And someday you'll be much older, wishing back hill, when you first entered Bible college, you would have put your shoulder to the hand of the plow and put your shoulder to it, and you really would have pushed in and worked all the way. There are many here today that could be right now real ministerial material that are a long ways from it because they wandered in bypaths instead of pressed on. And my friend, one day the reign of God is going to come and many will still be unprepared for God to use them. My sermon tonight is the Church of Christ. What is it? The Church of Christ, what is it? It's not the building. This building is not the Church of Christ. It's not these meetings. This is not the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is not people only while they are assembled. And then when they go home, that is not the Church of Christ. Many people failing to understand this think that the government of a church has no authority over their private life in any regard. They think only as they assemble, that's the church, and then the pastor might have something to say about it, providing he thinks like you do. But when you go home, it's none of his business. But the Church of Christ is the body of Christ, the mystical, spiritual body of Christ. That is a body of believers that make up His mystical body. And whether you are in a meeting, or whether you're on the job, or whether you're on vacation, or wherever you are a part of the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, living stones. The Church of Jesus Christ is the Church of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day. It is the ecclesia, the called out ones. From ek, out of, and kalo, I call. He calls us out of the world. The scripture talks about the church in the wilderness, called out of Egypt. God's people have found themselves once upon a time building Nimrod's tower. And there the Shemites were helping. God confounded the language and scattered them, got them out of Nimrod's territory, out of Nimrod's Babel. God's people ended up down in Egypt. And God called them out by the hand of Moses. God's people found themselves, a part of them, down in Sodom. It wasn't just Lot and his family went to Sodom, you know. His herdsmen were having trouble with Abraham's herdsmen. They had a lot of them, and they had families, and it was a large entourage that went down to Lot, probably numbering in several hundred, because when Lot was taken captive, Abraham sent several hundred of his servants after them. And so there were a lot that went down into Sodom, but two angels led the survivors out. There weren't too many that got out. But He called them out of Sodom. God's people got themselves in a mess and found themselves again in Syria under bondage. God finally broke up that empire and let them wander out. Judah found themselves down in Babylon, captives. God, through Cyrus, and by Nehemiah and Ezra and so forth, He brought them out and had them rebuild their own city again. Quit building Babylon. Come on out and build Jerusalem. Do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ today is in worldwide Babylon? And do you know the Church of Jesus Christ is building Babylon again? When God wants it to build Jerusalem instead? And in the last worldwide Babylon, I'm talking about the whole earth, He says, come out of her, My people. God keeps calling His people out. They keep getting where they shouldn't be, and He has to keep calling them out. Every time it's sin that leads them back down there. Abraham wandered down into Egypt. God had to get him back out again. Jonah got himself down at the bottom of the ocean. God had to get him back out again. Now, many are not discerning the Lord's body. The scripture says, because many do not discern the Lord's body, many are weak and sickly among them, and many sleep, meaning spiritually, and spiritual death. Not discerning the Lord's body, his body, his local body, and his universal body. There are many people not discerning the local body. There are Christians that do not believe in the local body. So I don't believe in a church. Street Christians didn't believe in the church. There are Christians that stay home, they don't believe in the church. I tell these people, and you don't believe, then you don't agree with the Holy Ghost. And you don't agree with God. Because God not only believes in the church, he established the church. And you can, you say, well, I can live just as good a Christian life at home. Absolute lie. Absolute lie. How can you at home minister unto the body? What gifts do you exercise in the body? How can you weep when others weep and rejoice when others rejoice? You don't have the slightest idea what's going on. How can you contribute to the rest of the body? Who do you lay hands on? Who do you pray for? They're in the body. Who do you counsel with? Who are you blessed by? You cannot live properly as a Christian outside of the body of Christ. And there are those who recognize the local body but not the universal body. We are the church. They don't recognize that God's church is a worldwide church. And they're not discerning. And they cut everybody else down but themselves. We don't want to do that here. We want to recognize what we have in God and rejoice for it. We want to recognize what others have and rejoice for that. We want to see what others have not and how they got in that mess so we can escape it and be warned of it. But we want to recognize that all those in Jesus Christ, those that are born again, but that does not mean God is happy with you just because you're born again or spirit-filled. There are so many Christians that think God is so pleased with them, he can hardly stand it because they've been born again and spirit-filled. My friend, if you're born again and spirit-filled and you're not really moving up in God and intimate in God and working for God and being used of God and in love with God, then all the more shame and judgment upon you because you're not in the place where you should be. Having the knowledge of it, you're more accountable. Jesus told those in Jerusalem, it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. Told them in Capernaum that. Now, the obligation of each member of the body of Christ is to work together for the intended purpose of that body. You have members. God has given, has made a human being as a marvelous type of the body of Christ. And that's what he calls us, the body. He is the head and we are the body. He's talking about a head and a body. He talks about, some say, one say I'm an eye, I'm a mouth, so forth. See, because he recognizes these are a type of the church. Therefore, in analyzing the body, we can learn a lot about the church, since it is a type of the church. It is the impress of that. And what we learn is that every member in this body has a function. There is no such thing as a member that's just sitting there enjoying the rest of the body without a purpose, without giving to the rest of the body. And it exists for the whole body, not just for part of the body. Am I right? And it must be needs subjected to the head. And it must integrate with the rest of the body. The church is the body of Christ. Christ means the anointed one. We are the body of the anointed one. And therefore we should all be anointed if we are part of the anointed one. The plan of God for the body of Christ originated in the mind of God. Jesus Christ, being the perfect Son of God, the obedient Son and the all-giving Son, was exalted and given the Father's name and manifested the Father's name, according to John 17. And He was given a great glory, and he was the pattern son, and the plan of God was placed into his hands as the great shepherd and the overseers of our soul. The overseer, or as the King James says, the bishop of our souls. He's the great shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Now, many people think that each member of the body is responsible directly to God and to him alone. The preacher, he throws words at you, but you're responsible to God and God alone. There are so many Christians that think that. They walk around as though they have some vertical cylinder running from them to God, and that's where they get everything. And that's all the obligation they got. My friend, that is absolutely, totally unscriptural. We must integrate together as a family of God, as members of one body. There is, your heart doesn't connect directly with the head, and the lungs directly with the head, and then the spleen directly with the head, and the appendix directly with the head, and each muscle directly with the head. It doesn't work that way in the body. We ought to learn something from that. You're not discerning the Lord's body when you're thinking that way. The head passes information down to the body, to a particular members of the body, for the benefit of the entire body, and he passes it down to the chief messenger through the spinal cord. And from the spinal cord, it goes off into major trunk lines, into other major leading nerves that all run into the pastoral spinal column. And out of that branch, all the eldership nerve columns, nerve lines. A nerve won't all necessarily go through all of the trunk lines. It'll come down and go through one to a particular organ or set of muscles to do a job. And so you have a trunk line, you have a nerve that goes to the aorta arch in the heart, and you have one that go, you have some that go to the lungs, and some that go to the diaphragm, some that go to the spleen, some that go to, they go to different parts of the body. They form nerve plexus, go to different parts, and the muscle, the message will come down and go out one to do a certain job. We have overseers of this, overseers of that, overseers of that. You don't always give a message to all overseers at once about everything, but as it's needed. And sometimes you get messages to many parts of the body at once. Sometimes you want the whole body in motion. Now, as it comes down through the pastoral trunk and through one of the overseer trunks, it splits up into other lines. There are other department heads under that particular overseership. It may be overseer of the Christian school, overseer of the Bible college, overseer of evangelistic ministries, overseer of healing ministries, overseer of this ministry. And under that are more nerves that branch out. And they go to various muscles, and they go to various organs of the body. Each muscle and each organ has a God-given calling and a God-given talent. The heart has a calling and a talent that the lungs don't have. And the liver has a calling and a talent that the heart doesn't have. And the biceps have a calling and a talent that the liver doesn't have. And each one has their purpose. And they're all integrated and have a unity and have one purpose, the design for that body. All is the Lord's. His will is the plan of God. His will in the body. Do you know the Church of Jesus Christ is not paying enough attention to the will of God? It's paying too much attention to its own feelings. Its own wants. Well, I feel this. Well, I know that, but I feel like, well, I'm not going to do it. Well, I just don't see why. And none of that makes any difference. It's all irrelevant. They have lost the understanding and the importance of authority to God himself through the department heads, through the eldership, through the pastor, through Jesus Christ, to God himself. The only one who seems to be doing his job right is Christ. mean perfectly right. What if in your body, what if each part of your body had its own mind? And the heart says, oh, I don't feel like it. Somebody says, well, I don't see why I should. I said, well, I know I should digest this food, the colon said, but I'm not going to. I mean, we would really be a sick body. May I say the Church of Jesus Christ at large is a sick body. And the great physician wants to heal it. Now, as the nerve signal comes from the brain down the body, it has energy, and as it comes down, the energy is getting less and less. And it does not have enough energy to get to the muscle, to the full muscle by itself. And so it comes to what we call a substation, or ganglion. And there in a substation, I don't know exactly what happens, but I know there's something to do with sodium there and some chemical mixture, kind of like I presume in the sodium solution, in a solution, somewhat like a battery, I suppose, where you have a zinc plate and you get water and so forth, and you get a galvanic action, or you get electrical action between two poles and so forth. And I'm not an electrical engineer, and I'm not a biochemist or anything of the sort, but somewhere there's a substation, and what I do know is in the substation it has one function: boost the signal. And it boosts the signal down to the next ganglion, and that substation takes it and it boosts the signal again to the next one, and it boosts the signal. But I want you to know it does not alter the signal. It just boosts the signal. It doesn't block the signal. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, until the church begins to understand and discern the Lord's body and function properly, we're going to be sick. And we're going to bring forth wind and not the man-child. We're not going to want deliverance in the earth. Now, there are those in the body, as the signal goes down to a certain person, at that particular ganglia, they will not boost the signal, they change the signal. For example, I am aware that somebody in this assembly goes to somebody else in the assembly, and he begins to complain to them about the pastor asking each member to give of the tithes and the offerings. The pastor's out of line. He's asking too much of the people. He shouldn't be doing this critical until he begins to feel critical because he's fighting the devil enough as it is. He's fighting the human reasoning. He's finding he's carnal enough as it is. He has enough pressures upon him by the things of life and not having grown all to what God wants. And so somebody's not boosting the signal. That substation is taking it upon himself to divert the signal and change it. My friend, this is wrong. This brings sickness to the body of Christ. The nervous system has cells arranged in groups. And we have groups. We are like cells, each arranged in groups to do a certain job. A certain group of cells do a job that another group doesn't do. And these cells are specialized in communication with each other. And so we're specialized in certain communications, and certain groupings of cells. And the job is to transmit information. They are a transmitter. When you transmit information from place to place, you carry the same signal that started out. And all of our signals should be starting from the head, working down, and we should be carrying out the same signal all down the line. Now, what I'm preaching tonight is a message in discerning the Lord's body, or entitled another way, How to Be Healthy. How to have a healthy church, how to have a healthy body of Christ, how to get out of the problems that we're in, how to let the Spirit of God come down and free us, how to receive the glory of God, how to bring in the latter rain, how to begin to move in power and might with God, how to begin to be free from all these things that bind us and pressure so we can begin to reach out for God. All these things are important to do that. If you take exception to these things, if you take offense at these things, if you're defensive against these things, then you cannot learn by them and be blessed and move on and help be a help to the church, but you'll be a hindrance. Now, I want you to know that these different organs that are moved upon by the nerves, they do not steal the glory from the head. They do not encroach upon the visibility of the spinal column, these other nerves. They don't try to make themselves more noticeable than the spinal column. They don't try to take glory away from the head. They all just do the function of passing on information. Now, Christians, interesting, paradoxically enough, at large across the nation, don't like weak leadership. But they won't accept a strong one. That's right. A wife does not like a weak husband, but she fights a strong one. Children don't like weak parents, but they fight strong ones. There's a spirit of rebellion in the age and in the ill. And we've got to be careful. Whenever a church gets to really get a strong leadership, and it's good leadership, and they love and respect that leadership, they've got a church that God is blessing and is moving, and the people are happy. Nobody likes a weak leadership. Nobody likes a weak team captain. But there's a rebellion that's coming in the church that they are fighting strong leadership. Every man wants to be team captain himself. Wild West all over again, all the guns are blazing, and every sheriff gets shot down. We hire sheriffs to keep rid of problems, and everybody wants to shoot the sheriff. We've got to worry, and we've got to be concerned about Laodicea in the church. And then the pastors, they won't stand under the authority of Christ. And they mess up the church. And no wonder the rest of the church gets messed up below. We've all got to work down the line. Everybody seems to want those below them to obey while they won't obey those above. That's right. Pastor says, listen, flock, you obey me. They don't obey Christ. And the husband says, wife, I'm the boss. Obey me. And she won't obey him. She says, children, you obey me. They won't obey. Children say, doggy, come here. And he, rah, 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 rah. Yeah. The whole world is groaning in rebellion. Jesus said, shall faith be found on the earth when I come? Well, the rebellion against all authority is leading to division. That leads to weakness in the church, not discerning the Lord's body, and many are weak and sickly, loss of faith. It's no wonder people are falling and failing to make it. And the churches don't have the power that we should have. There's got to be a reason why the churches are weak and in trouble. Yes, thank you, Mike. Now, neither do certain nerves coming out of the trunk line try to collect certain organs and muscles under their command and begin to say, these are my muscles. You see, we have in the Church of Jesus Christ frequently problems with deliverance ministers and leaders, with healing ministers and leaders, with preaching ministers and teaching ministers and Sunday school leaders and music ministry leaders and teachers. It seems like that when authority is delegated, then that particular one, let me start at the top. God gives authority to Jesus Christ, and he does a good job with it, and passes it on faithfully. And he passes it on to the under-shepherd, to pastors. And they fail, they begin to try to be great in their own eyes, in the eyes of everybody, and they try to make a power play, and they try to gain the whole world under control, instead of doing what God wants them to do. And then they give position to elders and deacons, and they all want to fight the pastor, and they seem like they, you know, they want to collect people under them. And then we get department heads, and certain ones want to collect them around them. And then you get certain ministers. Now, we're not having a lot of problem at Community Chapel, don't get me wrong. But this is a common problem throughout America. I mean, there's a lot of wrangling in the churches of Jesus Christ. A lot of it. But the biggest problem seemed to be with those with certain spiritual ministries that are very flamboyant and outward. People with deliverance ministries, particular, and healing ministries. It seems like when they begin to exercise their function at a particular member, they want to begin to take the particular muscles and organs that they relate to, and they want to take them and they want to build them under themselves. They want to take the glory away from Christ and the glory away from the pastor, and they want to make a circle of people that are under them, and they want to begin to be prestigious in the eyes of those people that they are getting delivered and so forth. But that's not the function of that particular nerve. That nerve is to boost the signal and do its job with the muscles. If the signal says, relax those muscles, relax them. If it says, tighten those, strengthen them and strengthen them. But it's not to collect certain ones under it, but as the head directs, down the line all the way. That is important. Many churches have been ruined because down the line, the substations divert the signal and the nerves begin to collect under itself and try to get a whole part of the body, each under it, and this one under it, and this one under it, until you've got churches within churches, Bible study groups within churches. Now, many churches, because of this, many pastors, because of this, they don't allow any Bible studies to, they do not want their people holding Bible studies. They forbid it. If you halt to holding Bible studies, they worry about it. They bring you right into the church unless you're right there under them in the building, right there directly to the pastor. They won't have any part of it. Why? Because there's been so much problems in the past. Well, then that makes a weak church. Not very many people can do much. I am trying to do it another way. I am trying to say, I want everybody to witness. Bring in converts and teach them. Be a blessing to them. I want everybody to do everything you can with everybody. Bless one another. Pray for one another for healing. Do everything you can with one another. But don't try to take a collection of people under you. Don't try to build on another man's foundation. Don't try to take the glory into yourself. Don't try to subvert and change the signal. Boost the signal and each do your job. And then all be to the glory of the head, Jesus Christ. And when this church gets to a place, and when the church of Jesus Christ gets to a place that it will faithfully boost the signals and not take advantage of the signal for themselves and to build themselves as to be something, the church of Jesus Christ is going to be flourish and it's going to be strong. There's too many people undermining the church of Jesus Christ. This teacher's undermining, and that teacher's undermining, and they keep quiet, and they're doing this underground, and they got their little group, and they're doing this, and the pastor wants to do this, but they're doing this, and the music ministry director wants to do this way, but they're doing this, and they're all doing their little secret thing. They all change it down the line. You tell them to do this, and they try to outthink you. Outthink you and rethink you. Some, I've had the experience of, and it's done unconsciously a lot of times. They don't really mean to, you know. There's something in their heart, but they don't really mean to. I have given directions at time, and I say, do this and this. They say, okay, I'll do this. I say, no, I don't want you to do that. That isn't what I told you to do. I just got through saying, do this. Already, his mind was rethinking before he ever got out of earshot, deciding that to do it another way than what I said to do it. Well, I'll double-check that and see. I said, no, don't double-check it. I already told you it was that way. Just do it that way. Don't go over and double-check it and try to go through all that. Don't call them up and ask them. Just go with it. Lack of trust, each one trying to do something different. We've got to take what Jesus Christ says and move it down the line and everyone flow right in. Now, until God can get the ministers and the leaders and the elders to support the pastor and the pastor to support Jesus and the congregation to support the ministers and leaders, the church of Jesus Christ will not reflect God as it should, it will not be in God's will as it should, it will not be successful as it should, it will not overcome the world as it should, it will not win the world of Christ as it should. Today the body of Christ has many blockages and bypass and internal feuds and so forth. Now the church of Christ cannot afford to allow its members to fellowship one another while they stay away from the sanctuary, while some of them fellowship one another outside the sanctuary, while some of them boycott the sanctuary. There are people insisting on this and wanting this. They want to boycott the church and fellowship with part of the church. The Church of Christ cannot allow those out of step with the church government and those who refuse to fellowship the church government to fellowship the church. For all the church is one body, and all must agree in one. I have a number of things to share with you yet, but I think my time has about run out. That means there's going to be a series on what is the Church of Jesus Christ. I have some scriptures to bring you, and these scriptures show proper attitude. They give a perspective, and it'll answer some questions that are plaguing some of you. Some of you have these questions that can't quite get it, even though we've said certain things. I'm going to try to show you why it has to be this way. If we can just get the picture. You know, we've got to do more. This is not a TV program. that when the service is over, we turn it off and go to bed and live as though it never happened. People get watching these things that don't really happen so much. And then, I mean, they're not real. And then they get used to watching something, getting emotional, and then clicking it off and doing nothing about the emotion. You get in a basketball game, you get emotional, and it's all over, and you click off the emotion. And people get TV-oriented until they have got emotionally influenced and then have nowhere to turn their emotions to and go away and do nothing about the emotion. They've done that 10 million times. Then they come to Jesus Christ, get impacted, emotional, turn off the emotional, go home and do nothing about it because they've been doing that for years. TV has trained the Church of Jesus Christ to do nothing about the sermons. Just like that's how you train children. You don't have to teach them directly certain things to train children. You just put them in a certain situation over and over and over again, and that's what they'll do. That's what dogs do. That's what animals do. That's where you train things. That's where you train seals and everything. You don't sit down with a seal and explain it all to them. You put them in certain positions often enough that he will automatically do that. And the Church of Jesus Christ is just automatically doing what it's always been doing out in the world. And that's the truth. That means we have to consciously recognize this and consciously take steps to overpower it, to turn it, to change it, to break the pattern, to do something different with it. And you grow up in a certain church, Episcopalian church, Lutheran church, or whatever, and that church, they listen to the pastor, shake his hand out, and go out the door, and they're gone. They never stop to tarry, to seek God. And so they come to community chapel. They've been programmed. That's the way you do it in church. You come, listen to the preacher man, turn around and go home and forget it. Somewhere along the line, we have to stop and say, why am I here? What's God saying? Where are we going? And what must we do? God, I feel like God is saying to the church, I'm going to let you get dry, dry, dry. And I'm going to keep pleading with you all the time. You get drier and drier until eventually you yell, help! And when you finally get to say, save me, maybe you're in a place to listen. Maybe then you'll do what he says to do. Maybe then we'll begin to wake up. You know, when people get crowded enough, then they start to wake up a little bit. There's nothing like the enemy attacking you, bombing your ships and your airfields and everything else to kind of wake you up, let you know that you got to get busy. That's right. You watch nations, they ignore the warnings, they ignore the signs, they don't prepare, and then wham, they're hit, and all of a sudden, mobilization! Every man, victory, V for victory, da-da-da-da! Everybody, patriotism! That was a World War II signal, that's Morse code for V. Da-da-da-da! Heard that all the time. You never heard it before? Been warning them, General MacArthur warned them, everybody else warned them, they warned them for years! Until it came and mobilized. Well, God knows how to get the church woke up. And he's going to do it someday. He can put a time bomb right under them. They're going to wake up someday. Everything's going to fall in and they're going to cry out to God. And what's going to happen? Same thing when they cried out to God back in the book of Judges. After they all got messed up and the enemy came in, God put them under slavery. They finally woke up and God delivered them. He's going to deliver his church. And you're going to see something come out of that deliverance. Every man's going to be new and different. I tell you, when God really takes you down to the bottom, and then he rescues you and you come up, that person is a blazing testimony for a while. But God's going to teach us. I have confidence that God's going to teach us. I have every confidence he knows how to use the old rod of correction. And it's going to bear good fruit. I would like to think that some of us will learn a lot without it. I would hope we will. I'd hope we would do the wise is sufficient, they say. And the scripture also says there's not many wise among us. But some learn. And the rest of us will learn by the rod of correction, the seed of learning. Thank you for bending your ear, and I hope you've opened your heart to the message tonight. And Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I'll be continuing on this message. Would you stand, please?